Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Come on, isn't he good? Why don't you just lift your hands in the presence of God and let's just believe for a fresh touch from him. We don't have to wait for the end of the service. God's here now. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as a word, you would steal the show. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just come off this platform, Lord. Touch every life, Lord, every miracle. This is the day the Lord has made. As your pastors have stretched and believed and made room for God this weekend, I just know that God's going to fill it. He's not going to disappoint. Everything's about to turn around. Everything's about to change. God, we just thank you. We honor you for your presence. Come on, lift your hands just one more time. In this atmosphere of power, this atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's just turn this place into a prayer meeting just for 30 seconds. Just, why don't you just speak in tongues and just worship God and just ask for the Holy Spirit just to come to this place. God, we thank you, Lord, right now. Come on. Come on, lift your voices now. Lift your voices now. Shira karabarama, shira karaba. Riyarabama, shira karaba, shira karabarama, shira. The power of God's going to fall in this place. God, we just thank you, Lord. Your power and your presence, Lord. Your name's going to be lifted up. Your name's going to be glorified in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, right now for your Holy Spirit to fall and to fall and to fall. Everything's going to turn around. Everything's going to change. Cancer is going to fall in Jesus' name. Arthritis is going to go. Father God, every sickness, blindness, bones are going to be healed in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing that song, He's a God of Miracles, one more time.
I believe in you.
Come on, lift your hands.
I believe in
Come
you.
Come on, push it down.
You're the God of miracles. Oh.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a big, big shout. Thank you for everything He's done. Oh, He's good. He's here, right? Powerful in this place. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, have a seat. Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready for my miracle. Just say that. I'm ready for my miracle. Man, this place is on fire tonight. And I just know that God's going to do great, great things in people's lives. And as I said before, in the morning, who was in either of the morning services? Is anybody here? So many. Thanks for coming back. I appreciate that. But, you know, what I really was saying this morning is, you know, it's one thing to want a miracle, but then there's other things to do to receive a miracle. Acts 1:8 says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, America, Sydney, and Wollongong, which is my new home, where we're planting a church, and to all the ends of the earth. And I think that's so true, and I want to teach us around that little simple thought as we talk about the subject of interrupting heaven, arresting heaven's attention into our lives. You know, I said before, you know, one of the keys to the miraculous must be the Word of God. So many people say to me, Andrew, I really want a healing, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. But sometimes, you know, the miracles in the Word of God, because God wants to change the way that we think. That's why Pastor Dan and Jess would go to so much great lengths to put on an event like this, so that you would understand that God wants you to be healed. Why would God go to huge lengths, if you think about this, on that one day for salvation? To die on that cross. you know, remember when he died on the cross and he said, it is finished. And because of that, and as Christians, we receive salvation. And many, many people's lives are like that. You receive salvation. You receive that gift of God. But some of us find it so hard almost to receive healing. And on the same day, he accomplished both. Because the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And on the way to that cross for our salvation, every whip, every beating, every spear, every thorn that was on his head was for our salvation. And so we shouldn't be shy or reluctant or skeptical that God would want to heal us, because on that same day of salvation was healing for us. And if we can accept God as our Savior, we should accept God as our healer. Who believes that? Give God a clap in Jesus' name. I do. I'm convinced of it. If he did all of that for me, then I'm excited about that. Very quickly, I just want to talk to you about our resource, especially this resource called Be Healed. We've put on hundreds of conferences around the miraculous, and I think I picked out about 13 messages on the miraculous. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be good to give you a conference? We've got my pastor, Phil Pringle, speaking on this one as well, and other speakers from around the world that I just thought, you know what, this is going to help people receive a healing, keep a healing, and maintain a healing. There's one thing to receive a healing, which is what we're here to do, but to keep and maintain a healing, you need to resource yourself, I believe, with the Word of God and with other great resources. And also to come to a great church, which I believe this is a great church. Because, you know, give it a big clap. Because when you're around like-minded people, all of a sudden your faith keeps up. Your faith keeps going and it's been strong. And you think, you know what, I can do it. I am going to be just fine. And so you need to get hold of that. And then my story, as Pastor Dan was talking about, how with 13 other messages on here, my story, and I want to share a little bit about that today, when God healed me of leukemia. Janine's story is on here as well, on how she was had anorexia, bulimia, was sexually abused. Talked about how she would look in the mirror and try to put on her lipstick and makeup, and like a movie, like a Disney movie, the mirror would speak back to her. Can you believe that? And say, you're not pretty, you'll never achieve. The devil's such a liar, isn't he? And but Janine got miraculously saved and travels the world telling people that your mind can be free from torment. And on here with 13 other messages as well. Just a little USB in here, just as simple as that. You plug it into your computer or your iPad or your car, and you can listen to all those messages. Is anybody in here in church for the first time? And I'd like to give you a little gift. Is anybody here today? Anybody? No? Is it your first time in church? Sweetheart. Can this beautiful lady behind you? There we go. Sir, kids again. All right. Oh, you weren't looking. Pass it behind you to that beautiful lady. That beautiful lady. There you go. There we go. That's funny, isn't it? Anyways, come on, give God a clap and thank him. Who loves your pastors? Pastor Dan and Jess, thank you for being my friends. Thank you for being so generous. Thank you for having me back. You know, it's always a risk. One time, if you come and then you're no good, you never get invited. But I think I've been back 3 times now, so I must be doing something okay. And your beautiful family, and Chloe, you're amazing, amazing woman of God, and future's so bright for you. And I'm excited about today. I would like to do it this way. I just felt like I'm going to just share my story for a little bit. And then I want to invite people to have a relationship with God. And then I would like to take time and pray for people. So I'm not going to talk long because I want to pray long. And I know that your time is precious. And there were so many hands. I was surprised. So many hands who wanted the healing touch from God. You know, at the age of 13, and I'm the youngest of 8 in my family. I've got 4 brothers and 3 sisters. Does that sound right? And just calculating again, make sure that equation was correct. At the age of 13, I was diagnosed with leukemia, which was always a bad day. Brought up in a traditional Catholic background, you know, it was horrendous having to go through that. In my life, I always knew about God, but I never really had a relationship with God. I don't know, and not to offend anybody, I appreciated my Catholic upbringing because I always knew that God was real. Just knew that he was real, that God was real and he was holy. Like, you know, if you walk into church, in the Catholic church, it's not like this. This place is like a zoo, you know what I mean? Like, it's like everybody's talking and dancing and doing that little thing. And so it's, no, the Catholic church is holy. Like, if you talked in church, you'd get smacked, you know what I mean? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, well, hey, if you come on, you Catholics, all right. We know we get to heaven, don't we? Some of you, that was too much, okay. But it was like that. It was kind of, it was just like, you know, and to think that God would be interested in me would be like a big revelation. You know, the guy in the dress, the priest, he got the download and he kind of told you what was going on. And I was really happy with that. But, you know, when I was 13, and having had cancer, there are dark moments where you're going through chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and you know, big problems like that. And I was in and out of hospital often when I came into remission quite quickly. But when you're in school and you've got no hair, and it's not like a great moment, if you know what I mean. But I was kind of like a good kid. You know what like good kids are? They're just bumping around, like 13 years old. That's what Chloe is right now. And I just had a little cap and was able to wear that at school. I'd miss a lot of school. But this one day at lunchtime, as I moved out of school, for lunchtime, just moving out of the class, one of the teachers took my cap off and he said, no caps in school. And I was like, oh, you know, and I had no hair. And I was feeling a bit embarrassed. And a friend came over and said, sir, he's a sick kid. And the teacher was really apologetic and came back and gave him my cap, and that was fine. But it's funny how little moments can form your world. And how that little moment, I thought, you know what, I'm not going to be the good kid. I'm gonna be the tough kid now. I'm like, I've grown up, I'm 13, I'm going to be a gangster. And you can see that, hey, like, I'm a gangster, I'm a rap star. And but truly, from I started only wearing black. So I had black boots, black pants, little black jumper, like a trench coat, like one of those old trench, army trench coats. And I just thought I was all that. And I had a little black beanie because that was tougher, you know what I mean? Looked like a gangster. And I started hanging around some friends and you know, getting into a bit of trouble. And my brothers introduced me to drugs and alcohol. And that was interesting. When I was 15 years old, I was smoking drugs with two of my school teachers. And so all of a sudden, I became the naughty kid. Like, I was just the naughty kid. And this, and who knows if you're sick at school, not like achoo, but dying sick. Teachers don't know what to do with you. So you could skip school as much as you wanted. Like, it was just free reign. You know, you come to class, not come to class, nobody would even worry about it. And I just thought this was awesome. This little pretty girl in geography who I had a massive crush on. Come on, somebody. Did anybody have a crush on a girl in school? Boys, that's your turn. Girls, it would be awkward if you said that. Now, I really liked her, and I found out later that she was like a church girl, a Christian. And I would ask her out on a date every single week. How about a date? How about a date? How about a date? And she'd say, no, no, no. And she went and told her mum, heard the story later, that the naughtiest kid in school is asking me on a date. And she said, invite him to youth group. And Lisa said, there's no way he's going to youth group. He's unsavable. And her mum just kept on pestering. And this one day, I remember sitting in my class, and I turned to Lisa and I said, how about we go on a date? And she says, how about you come with me to youth group on Sunday night? And I was like, holy tamale. I think she's come. I think she's realized. I think she's realized the error of her ways, and she's seen the anointing on me or something. You know what I mean? Like, she's seen the glory. And I said, that's it. We're doing it. And she said, I want to give you the specifics after school. And I remember, man, that's awesome. And because we're meeting at the bike sheds. And if you met at the bike sheds, hello somebody, you're going to get a kiss. That's, and it would have been my first kiss at 15 years old, so it was a pretty big moment. Now, you might not remember, but in New Zealand, they had those little spray cans for your mouth, the breath fresheners. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? At lunchtime, I ran to the corner shop. I brought a spray can in preparation of the big moment. And I put the whole can in my mouth at 3 o'clock straight after school, thinking that, you know, like, that this is going to help. And it was a windy day. It was a windy day. And she was standing there and she was looking really saucy. And her hair was flowing and stuff. And I, shh, and I had my spray can going. And I was like getting ready for it. Anticipation, like thinking what I wouldn't have a clue what to do, basically. And she came up to me and she said, hey, listen, youth group's at 7 o'clock. Do you want to come to my house and pick me up? And I was like, yeah, I had my full license at that time. And so there was no kiss, but I remember picking her up, opening the car door for her, shutting the car door, coming to this youth group. There was only 30 people in the whole youth group. And I couldn't believe my eyes when I opened the door. There are three more attractive girls than her. And I thought, man, maybe I am in heaven. Maybe this is it. In fact, I didn't care what they talked about. They could have been Buddhist, Muhammad, you know, like, I wasn't leaving. They were so nice. Everybody was like talking to me. I thought, man, church rocks. Church is awesome. Like, this is the best church in the world. 6 weeks into it, the pastor says to me, Andrew, do you want to become a Christian? One of the worship team could join me. Do you want to become a Christian? I said, well, no, I don't really want to become a Christian. I'm Catholic. And he said, Andrew, you know, honestly, just because you go to McDonald's every day doesn't make you a hamburger. And just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. And I was like, dude, that's completely wrong. Like, I was brought up, if you went to Mass, come on, somebody. Like, if you were in the building, surely that's good enough. I mean, what does he want? Like, you know, like, how demanding is this God? And he said, Andrew, well, anyway, have you ever sinned? And I was like, well, not really. I don't even know why you're laughing. I said, none of the big ones. I've ever murdered anybody. He said, how would you go with the Ten Commandments? Now, I'm thinking, honestly, I'm going to score like a 9 or an 8, you know, out of the 10. Like, I'd be pretty sweet with that. You know, I can't be perfect, but like a 9 or an 8. And so he said, have you ever told any lies? And I was like, well, no. Because white ones don't count. Who knows? Or if in New Zealand, if you cross your fingers while you tell a lie, does anybody know that? If you cross your fingers while you tell a lie, that doesn't count either. And the reason for that is this. It's because the cross of Jesus, okay? He takes away. Okay. Don't tweet that. That's not cool. He said, how many white lies before it's a real lie, Andrew? And so I'm trying to help him out. And I said, well, I guess just one. He said, so what are you then? I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a liar? He goes, yeah, you're a liar. And I said, what's this about? You know, like, I think you're trying to be, you know, I think Christians are supposed to be nice, and now you're going around telling people the liars. That's not good. He said, Andrew, have you ever stolen anything? So I'm, you know, I said, yeah, okay, I've stolen stuff. He said, so what are you? I said, a stealer? He goes, no, you're a thief. I said, what is this, an English lesson? I don't even know where are you going with this? He said, Andrew, have you ever committed adultery? Adultery? I'm 15. 15. I haven't even had my first proper kiss yet. And you're talking about adultery. I said, hello, awkward. And he said to me, Andrew, the Bible says if you look lustfully at a woman, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever done that? I was like, sure. Her and her and her and her and her, her. Basically, the whole youth group. Like the whole youth group. And he said this to me. He said, God's holy, you're not. And sin separates us from God. But he said, if you to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he will forgive you of your sins and you can have a relationship with him. And when he said, and you can have a relationship with him, something clicked inside of me. And I thought, wow, That would be amazing. And so right in front of all these people, by then I had invited all my unsaved friends because I told them about these pretty girls. And I prayed a prayer in front of them saying, God, today, I give you my life as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin. Because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world, take away my sin. Today, I choose to follow you. I'm a child of God. It's funny how a prayer can change everything. That's what amazes me about God. Like, I think that salvation and healing should be way more complicated than a prayer. Like at least give $1 million to charity or pray 1,000 hours or something. But that a prayer can take you out of hell and put you into heaven. That a prayer can heal a young boy who was dying of cancer, leukemia, and now he's healed. That 1 minute you're in a wheelchair, now you're walking. Prayer is powerful, friends. Prayer changes everything. And what it is us being honest to God. If you hide the thing that's broken, he can't fix it. But if you give God the thing that is broken, your life, he can fix it. God's a gentleman. And he had to wait those many years until I was 15 years old to give my life to Christ. But I'm so grateful that he did. Soon after that, actually, when I was in remission, the leukemia came back. It was a lot worse. I was diagnosed to be terminal, which means that the doctors gave up. My parents had organized for my Catholic priests to come and give me my last rites, preparing me for burial, anointing me with oil. Who knows, that's a bad day. But then soon after that, on the very same day, when I didn't know what was going to happen, my youth pastors arrived holding a big Bible, smiling. And they walked into my room and they said, listen, Andrew, we want to pray for you. And they said, we believe that God has spoken to us and we've got a different report than the doctors. We believe that God can heal you. Now, friend, where was my faith? I'm telling you, it was at a low. After 5 years fighting. And this is a word for somebody. I didn't have a lot of faith. But the very fact that I allowed them to pray for me, even in my unbelief, I think was enough of a sniff of faith. The Bible says all you need is a seed of faith for God to do something in his life. And when they prayed for me, I felt warmth. I felt the power of God came into me. And then immediately after that, the doctors took a blood test and they said that that everything had changed around and that they were changing their diagnosis. And I praise God that God healed me, that somebody was courageous enough to visit me in a room and pray for me and believe God for my healing. And I thank them, I honor them in Jesus' name. Today, friend, I'm just wondering, you know, how are you with God? You know, this Psalm 121 verse 1, I lifted up my eyes to the Lord because this is where my help comes from. It's a great psalm because many of us today say, God, we need a miracle. That's what we're saying. We're lifting up our eyes to the Lord because we need a miracle. But the truth is, it kind of helps if God's on your team. I was praying for a person recently, they're terminal in hospital, and he was an atheist, angry at God. And I walked into his room and I said, sir, I'm here to pray for you. He goes, oh, that's good. He's got all this emphysema. I said, Jesus loves you. And he goes, does he? I just want a miracle. That's what he said, I want a miracle. And I said, friend, miracles come from God. And I said, wouldn't it be good if you had Jesus inside your life, the miracle maker, and there would be nothing separating you and him? He said, oh, that would be good. And as we began to pray that salvation prayer over him, tears were streaming down his cheeks. I put my hand on his shoulder. He says, I can feel the power, Andrew. I said, sir, what have you not done? What can you not do? He says, I can't stand. The nurses were all there. Three nurses, one doctor, and I'm praying by myself. I said, sir, why don't we try and stand? The doctor says, no, he can't stand. I said, he'll be the judge of that. And he stood on his feet. He's weeping, weeping, weeping. The doctor walks out of the room. The nurses are weeping as the presence of God comes in. The amazing thing is 2 months later, he was out of hospital. No cancer, no tumors, the emphysema, gone. Oh, you better clap better than that. Come on, somebody. It's Jesus who heals people. It's Jesus who heals. I said this morning, when's the last time you're honest with God? That's the truth, isn't it? When's the last time you're honest with Him? Because we're here for a miracle. But you need Jesus inside of you. And friend, if you've been away from God, or today if a friend has brought you and you're saying, you know what, I want to have that same experience. I want to know Jesus in my life. I want you to just close your eyes just right now, right across this auditorium. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to ponder that thought. Am I in relationship with God? I think that is the honest, most honest prayer you can pray. And for me, knowing about God, that was a different conversation. Knowing about God is one thing. Having a relationship with Jesus is another separate issue. And as you're pondering that thought right now, I'm going to begin to pray for you. At the end of that prayer, if you're saying, Andrew, I want to ask Christ to come into my life or rededicate my life to the Lord. Just where you're seated, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. I'll see that hand and ask you to put it down. And where you are, we're going to pray that prayer out loud so that you know that God is touching your life, and we're going to pray this prayer together so you don't feel embarrassed or alone at all. But why don't you do that? Why don't you just close your eyes? For some people, that would be a hard thing to do. Even to do that, you've come here, you thought, man, this is feeling tough right now. But take one step closer. Take one step closer to your miracle as you invite Jesus into your life. And let me pray for you. God, I thank you for those people who are here for the first time, maybe second time, visiting from another church, brand new here. And they're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I don't really have a relationship with Him. Not like you're talking about, Pastor Andrew, but something has to turn. Something has to shift for me. When I was praying early this morning, I felt there are numerous people here who are saying, I cannot have another year like the last 12 months. That something needs to turn. That as I reflect over the last 12 months, it was an absolute train wreck. And you know that the gap is that you weren't in relationship with God. But I'm believing that your next 12 months are going to be the best as you accept Christ into your world. Or maybe you're sitting here thinking, you know what, Andrew, it is sin that's separating me from God. A wrong relationship, perhaps. A secret sin that nobody else would know about. But we know, friends, that God sees everything. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Andrew, if I was to face death like you had to as a teenager, if I was to walk out of the Rock Church today and get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There would be a fear and uncertainty around that moment. But would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God, walk in that relationship, and have assurance of my salvation? Friend, if you're in one of those categories and you're saying, Andrew, include me in this prayer, I want you to lift your hands just right now so I can see it nice and high. And I want to pray for you. Thank you, 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 sweetheart. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Other people, lift your hands now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else today? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Friends, come on, friends. Don't tell me there's not a fight for your soul, a fight for your miracle. The devil doesn't want you to win. He does not want you to become a Christian. He does not want you to be healed. He does not want you to be authentic in your Christianity. He wants you to remain the same, beaten up, broken, and oppressed. But you tell him, no, today's my life, my miracle. And if you feel like God's talking to you, come on, one more time, I'm looking for you. to lift your hand and say, yes, include me, and push through and give God this moment. Thank you. Other hands now lifting as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thank you. Who else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Other hands now lifting. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See those hands. Who else? Thank you. In Jesus' name. Every person that lifted your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know you should have. Would you do me the honor of just lifting it one more time so I can see? In fact, I don't want to miss one person. Lift it high so I can see. I want to count even. Let me do that because I believe he's counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 6 and 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43 at the back. 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 53, and 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58. Let's give God a big, big hand even just for doing that. Come on, somebody. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet and we're going to pray this prayer just where you are. But I want you to put your hand on your hand on your heart and pray this prayer after me. Come on. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, church, pray it together. Dear Lord Jesus, tonight I'm asking you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Tonight I give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you every day in your presence. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin, because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. Today, I am a new creation. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. Now let me pray for you, God. I thank you for every person that lifted their hand. Or maybe didn't lift their hand even, but prayed this prayer with sincerity. Lord, you see everything. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word says that the old us is gone and the new person has come, that we are like born again, new children in the family of God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. Lord, I pray that your miracle-working power would fall upon them tonight afresh and anew. God, that the old person is falling away. God, those old habits, that old sin is drifting off them in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would speak to them, lead them and guide them. Lord, that they would know that they have a family now, a family called the Rock Church, to do life with, to laugh with and to cry with. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you've brought them here for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God a big, big shout. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.